During this Thanksgiving holiday, we've been discussing a very wonderful section of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is class number 13. So, for those of you that weren't here for the first 12, we'll do a little summary. And especially you very few minority American folks here, two ladies, three ladies, probably don't know so much about Srimad Bhagavatam. Have you heard? Little. You heard the title. Okay. Well, this is one of 18 volumes. That's how, you know, substantial this literature is. It's considered the ripened fruit of the desire tree of Vedic knowledge. What does that mean? The Vedas, Veda means knowledge, and the Vedic literature is very ancient, written down 5,000 years ago, and prior to that it was passed on by oral tradition. And within those Vedas, it's called the desire tree because it's knowledge of how the affairs of the universe are organized from the creator to the sub-creator. He's like chief engineer of the universe and puts it all together. And then personalities that oversee the affairs of the universe. And by process of sacrifice to those or overseeing the affairs of the universe, necessities of human society can be met. All necessities. So in that sense, it's a desire tree of knowledge, how necessities of life can be met. Everything. A to Z. And, most importantly, the chief purpose of the human form of life is self-realization. Or understanding our true identity as the spark of life within. Not only the necessities of the body and the mind, but the soul, the spark of life within. And ultimately, to break, go beyond the cycle of repeated birth and death. That's the human mission. And how that is best achieved, it's discussed in many places, but in principle in Bhagavad Gita. You've heard Bhagavad Gita. And to keep it really simple, that's the undergraduate study, and then the graduate study is Srimad Bhagavatam. Everything that's in Bhagavad Gita is there in the Bhagavatam, just expanded in a more complete fashion. Fantastic literature. Very, not just intellectually stimulating, spiritually invigorating, and it awakens spiritual emotion, spiritual feeling for reaching the goal of life, spiritual goal of life, along with the necessities of the body and the mind. And therefore it's called the ripened fruit of the tree, the desire tree of Vedic knowledge. It's the best. Superlative. And other parts of the Vedas speak in that way. I could elaborate, but time doesn't permit. It's fantastic, the Srimad Bhagavatam. So we've been discussing one chapter that has 55 verses, and it's chapter 9, and chapter 1 begins where this is Narada Muni. Who's Narada Muni? Well, Narada Muni is a great devotee of Krishna, and Narada Muni is answering the question of the king. The king pictured there is Yudhisthira. If you're familiar with Bhagavad Gita, the conversation of Bhagavad Gita is between Krishna and Arjuna. Arjuna, So Arjuna is a brother of the five. The eldest of the five is Yudhishthira, who is becoming the king of the whole world. He's very noble, very virtuous, very deep, very profound. He's a fantastic leader. And he has a question for this great sage. See this stringed instrument there? It's a veena. When you see one of these, that's Narada Muni. He has this mystic power that he sings spiritual vibrations, playing upon his veena, and by mystic power, he can travel anywhere. He can travel anywhere in the universe and even beyond the universe. He has that mystic power. And he's vastly knowledgeable. So the king is asking Narada, O vastly knowledgeable one, O great sage Narada, can you describe this? There's a function, Raja Suya. This Yudhishthira is to become installed as the king. Raja means king. Raja means king. So they're doing this big function, sacrifice, and Yudhishthira asks Narada to describe how that SPG is Supreme Personality of Godhead, how the Supreme Personality of Godhead is neutral when it seems like he's not. It seems like he's parties, and he admonishes those who are inimical to the natural order of things and so forth. And it's we've been discussing that. I mean, many other things, but that's part of what we've been discussing. And, well, here we go. Whoa. His picture's over here. He's been offering these prayers because he just saw his father who was trying to kill him. Again and again and again and again and again and again. His father was so powerful that beyond this earth planet, he had conquered the heavenly planets. And he was ruling the heavenly planets, and he wanted to become immortally forever. But the body isn't immortal. So he was given then instead this benediction, kind of, you know, intelligently, cleverly, well, I want a benediction that I can't be killed the day or night, or inside or outside, or in the air or on the ground. And, you know, this and that, the other thing. So it was arranged that he was taken care of, or anyone that's created by you, Lord Brahma. So he checkmate. He thought he had it all figured out. He tried to kill his own son because his son had become a devotee of Vishnu. And he became a devotee of Vishnu by hearing from Narada. Very interesting. He heard from Narada while he was still within the womb of his mother, which means there's living entity, there's life, there's consciousness in wombs of mothers. So abortion isn't a good idea because there's life inside and you don't take life. So anyway, he became a great devotee by hearing from Narada, and his father couldn't stand it. He tried to stop him, but he couldn't stop him. So he tried to kill him, and he couldn't kill him. There's like many things he did to try to kill him. So he asked his son, I'm the most powerful person in the universe, and everybody's afraid of me, but you're not afraid of me. And I can't harm you at all. I can destroy anybody and everybody, but I can't harm you at all. You appear to be more powerful than me. Where are you getting your power from? From the same place you are, Dad. From God. Oh! Where is he? He's everywhere. Oh! Where? So, with his sword, some versions say with his fist, he smashed the pillar. And Lord Nrsingadev appeared from the pillar and a little battle between the two, and guess who won? So after that fierce appearance of Lord Vishnu in this lion, then Prahlad is offering prayers. So we've been discussing for 12 sessions these wonderful, devotion-filled, knowledge-filled, love-filled, humility-filled words of Prahlad to his worshipable master, God, or speaking to him. Imagine. So, the prayers of Prahlad have, there's two left, 48, 49, and then for the rest, 50 through 55, that's what we're going to cover and we'll finish the chapter. It's Yudhisthira being spoken to by Narada, this the same picture you saw before, said, and then Lord Nrsingadev speaks, giving, offering benediction. The chapter ends, and I'll give you a little sneak preview of what happens next. Coming attractions. So, text 49, the second to the last of his prayers, is a message that's the same message as Bhagavad Gita. The undergraduate and the graduate study agree. So, here's the Sanskrit of the verse, and we'll just go straight to the translation. Prahlad says, neither the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, ignorance, nor the predominating deities controlling these three modes, nor the five gross elements, nor the mind, nor the demigods, nor the human beings can understand your lordship. For they are all subjected to birth and annihilation, meaning he's beyond those. He's eternal. And these personalities, they're temporary. So, we'll see in a moment. How does Bhagavad Gita speak about this? Considering this, the spiritually advanced, these men hardly bother with Vedic study. Instead, they engage themselves in practical devotional service. So, here's the Bhagavad Gita verse. Bhagavad Gita chapter 10, text number 2, where Krishna says, same thing that Prahlad said, neither the hosts of demigods, nor the great sages know my origin or opulences, for in every respect, I am the source of the demigods and sages. So we'll say the same in different language. It's very simple. Nobody can understand what existed before they existed, because it existed before they existed. They can speculate and say, perhaps maybe, or it seems to me, or I think, in my opinion. But what Krishna is saying is, nobody can know me, in fact, because I'm their origin and I existed before they existed. So if you want to know what existed before you existed, good luck. There is one way to know, and that's if what existed before you existed discloses. And that disclosure comes through the medium of devotional service. And that's this next verse that's being quoted here. Bhaktyamam abhijanati. Only by devotional service can the Supreme Lord be understood. This is Bhagavad Gita reference. And the painting is a painting of, actually it's not just a painting, it's a bas relief depiction of a pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotee, Haridas, Haridas Thakur. You see there his bead bag. He was very fond of chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. In fact, he did it all day long, every day of his life. He did it all day long, every day of his life. He would chant all day long, every day. But he was absorbed in the name of Krishna in great devotion. And so he had realization of Krishna through this medium of devotion. This particular pastime, just for appreciation's sake, he was very old. He was as old as Lord Chaitanya's father. And he had this intuition, because he was a devotee, that Lord Chaitanya was going to finish his pastimes and leave this world. And he said, I don't want to experience that grief of missing you. So please give your approval, your benediction, that I can leave before you. And when I leave, I want to be seeing you with my eyes, your face before my eyes, your smiling face, and call the holy name, and in this way, leave my body before you leave this world. So Lord Chaitanya's response was, you're such a wonderful devotee, I'm sure that the Supreme Lord will approve. So the next day when he came to visit Haridas, Haridas was reclining like this against this very special tree. It's a long story behind the special tree. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat in such a way that Haridas could see his face. He called the holy name and voluntarily, kind of a special power, he just gave up his body. I mean, the soul left the body and went to the spiritual world. So one can understand the message of Bhagavad Gita is same as the message of Prahlad, that one can understand Krishna or God who existed before we existed through the medium of devotion to him. He discloses to such a person. And now from the purport, little P means the purport of this verse, this is Prabhupada's writing. Elsewhere it is said, Aradito yadi haris tapasa tata kim. It's a reference from a scripture, Narada Pancharatra, where it means, if one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage in his service, there is no more need of severe austerities, penances, and so on. However, if after performing all those things one doesn't understand the Personality of Godhead, such practices are useless. Now, the image that's shown here is the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri. And Madhavendra Puri was at the topmost stage of renunciation. And we're going to hear about that stage in the next verse, text 50, the Paramahamsa stage. The Paramahamsa stage is such that when among many things, one doesn't stay in one place for long. One travels here and there, like a wandering mendicant. And one doesn't request anybody for something to eat. There's a stage before that. You go door to door, cloth extended, and whatever people give, that's it. That's what you accept as your meal. called Madhukari. Madhu means bee. So like a bee goes from flower to flower and gathers a little pollen. And so that stage of sannyas when goes door to door and whatever pious family members want to offer to that mendicant, that's their meal. This stage that Madhavendra Puri observed is he didn't ask, which, you know, in the West you die. But in India, he would sometimes go for some days and fast, and sometimes he would not. And because people appreciated, he was an elevated holy man, and they came forward and offered him something. So that was the stage of Paramahansa. So that's what this next verse is speaking about, that Paramahansa. Parama, Hansa. Hansa means swan. Parama means supreme. It's the swan-like stage of spiritual life. So Prahlad says, there's this word, Paramahansa. Prahlad says, this is the last of his prayers. Therefore, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, the best of all persons to whom prayers are offered, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, because without rendering six kinds of devotional service unto you, here's an interesting list, offering prayers, dedicating all the results of activities, worshiping you, working on your behalf, always remembering your lotus feet, and hearing about your glories, who can achieve that which is meant for the Paramahansas? This is the topmost stage of spiritual attainment, particularly for those in the mood of renunciation. Now, at this stage of his life, Prahlad is very young. He's just a schoolboy, 6, 7 years old. But his knowledge is mature. And so now, that's the end. This text 50 is the final of all these prayers. And now comes what Lord Nrisingadev says in response, hearing these very elevated and beautiful prayers. And I believe all of this is recorded, so if you find this of interest, those of you that weren't able to come, it's recorded and it'll be available, I guess, on your local website. There he is, Narada with his Veena. The great saint Narada said, thus, Lord Nrisingadeva was pacified by the devotee Prahlad Maharaj with prayers offered from the transcendental platform. The Lord gave up his anger and, being very kind to Prahlad, who was offering prostrated obeisances, he spoke as follows. If you remember the picture, this is Narada speaking to King Yudhisthira in the presence of that assembly that you saw in the background. He's giving him instructions or giving him histories, because he was requesting examples of how the Lord is equal to everyone, although it may appear that he's not. He protected Prahlad and he finished Hiranyakashipu. So how is that equal? That's discussed at length. Next is text 52. So this is where Lord Nrisingadev begins to speak. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Prahlad, most gentle one, best of the family of asuras. For those of you that don't know this word, asura, it means, not nice. It's not complimentary. Sura means saintly, or the one who abides by good conduct. And asura is the opposite. Anti-good conduct, or demoniac. That's the meaning, the standard definition or translation that Prabhupada would give. Oh, best of the asuras. Because he was born of a father who was bad, super bad. All good fortune unto you. I am very much pleased with you. It is my pastime to fulfill desires of all living beings, and therefore you may ask from me any benediction that you desire to be fulfilled. So what do you want? He's already stated from earlier prayers what he wants. And what he wants is devotional service. He wants the association of Narada, because it's from Narada that he has learned devotional service. He wants continued instruction from Narada in the ways of devotional service. He wants to be situated like that. Just serve Narada. Hear from Narada, serve Narada, Narada, Narada. Because through Narada, he gets mercy of Lord Nrisingadeva. That's what he wants. But here's what Lord Nrisingadeva is saying, my dear Prahlad. Whoops. May you live a long time. So there's one benediction without even asking. One cannot appreciate or understand me without pleasing me. But one who has seen or pleased me has nothing more for which to lament for his own satisfaction. So let me just see you. That could be one, you know, the benediction. But he doesn't want to just see. He wants to be engaged in his service. My dear Prahlad, you are very fortunate. Please know from me that those who are very wise and highly elevated try to please me in all different modes of mellows. That's, I put in highlights, Dira Sarva Bhavena, and it's going to be explained in the commentary in just a moment. All modes of mellows. For I am the only person who can fulfill all desires of everyone. So, this is Lord Brahma. There's Lord Shiva. There's Narada Muni. Here's the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi. And on his lap is little Prahlad. And he's speaking like this to Prahlad before all these great, great personalities. In the purport of this verse, Prabhupada explores the question, how do unalloyed devotees, like we saw the picture of Madhavendra Puri, Paramahansa devotee, or Narada, or Prahlad, or anyone. Here's a picture of Madhavendra Puri. What happened is described in another literature, Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Madhavendra Puri was traveling to different holy places, chanting in the evening time, like you see seated under a tree. There are some nice peacocks and some nice cows. And he was just chanting and chanting and chanting. And one small boy, that's Krishna, by the way, one small boy, cowherd boy, came and said, my dear sir, it appears that you're fasting. And the ladies of the village said, in our village, no one goes hungry. So please take this pot of milk. And little exchange, how did you know I was fasting? The ladies said you're fasting. And so I have to go milk the cows now. So I'll come back later and get the pot from you. I have to go now. And he disappeared. And as Madhavendra Puri was drinking the milk, he was feeling ecstatic. And he was recalling the form of that young boy that brought the pot of milk. And then he realized this ecstatic feeling is because it's, that was Krishna. And, oh, the Lord of my life, I didn't even recognize him when he came and he was serving me to bring me some milk. Oh, he was ecstatic and sad at the same time. And he was just all night long meditating on this experience, softly chanting the holy name. And at a certain point, he dozed off. And in his dream, that same boy appeared in his dream and said, "I've been waiting for you for a long time. My deity form has not been worshipped for years and years and years because some dacoits had come and the worshippers of the deity form put me in a bush. And for years I've been hidden in the bush. I've been waiting for you to come. Here's where I am at such and such place. In the morning, get some local people and come and begin my worship. I want you to worship me." He woke up. And he was feeling ecstatic. And in the morning, because he's this sadhu, this holy man, everyone understood just by his presence that he was a holy man, he got some of the local people to go into this area that the little boy in the dream said, Gopal said. And sure enough, there was the deity. And he, it's a long narration of, he began the worship of Gopal. And it carries on from there. So, back to the topic at the top. How do unalloyed devotees receive their necessities? This is a question raised in the purport, and then Prabhupada responds to the question this way, from a verse from Bhagavad Gita. Ananyaschintayanto mam yejana paryapasate esham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshema vahamyaham. And the translation is, to those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form. His form just disappeared. Oh, there it is. Govardhan Hill. And on top of Govardhan Hill, there's Lord Hari, the form of the Supreme Lord. As the residents of Vrindavan are circumambulating the hill of Govardhan. To them, I carry what they lack. And one example of this is Draupadi. Draupadi was in the presence of a royal assembly, these nasty, super nasty Kauravas. In a cheating, gambling match, they beat the Pandavas and took all of their possessions, and now they gambled his wife. And so they ordered that she be stripped naked in the public assembly. Terrible, disgraceful, sinful, abominable. And as Dushasana, a big general, was trying to take her cloth, she tried to stop. She was a strong lady, but he was stronger. And so she raised both arms in the air and called out, "Hey Krishna, hey Govinda." So Krishna heard, and he supplied unlimited sari. So Dushasana got exhausted. He didn't work, plus exhausted, unlimited sari. So to such a person as Draupadi, or anyone engaged in undivided devotional service, Krishna carries what they lack, and he preserves what they have. Here's an image of Maharaj Parikshit in the womb of his mother, and he was being attacked. The dangerous Brahmastra weapon shown here to protect Prahlad, Krishna came and stopped the heat of this Brahmastra weapon and gave Parikshit, even within the womb of his mother, a chance to see the Supreme Lord before he was even born. He didn't even do anything yet. He just got protected and saw Krishna. So when he was born, he was given the name Parikshit, which means examiner. So he was always looking, where is Krishna, where is Krishna, where is Krishna? Fulfilling the meaning of his name. So, whatever people need personally, Krishna takes care of. There's a very nice story in this connection. That's how we're doing with time. Okay, I'll make it fast story. There in Puri, Puri is a holy place where Lord Jagannath is worshipped, just like the Jagannath deities here, Jagannath Puri. And there was one commentator of Bhagavad Gita appropriately named Arjunacharya, writing commentary on Bhagavad Gita. And he came to this verse that we just spoke about, Ananyaschintayantumam, etc. And he didn't like the idea that someone who's devoted to Krishna would take things or accept things from Krishna, because devotees are supposed to give to Krishna, not take from Krishna. It disturbed his mind devotionally. And so with his writing instrument, he scratched through the line, Aham Yaham. Aham is first person singular. I preserve what they have and carry what they lack. I protect them. He scratched through it and went to take his midday bath. Very soon after he left, two small boys, a little black one and a little white one, Krishna and Balaram, came to the door of his residence and said, my dear Mataji, your husband, Arjunacharya, has sent us to your door to bring you some items for offering to your deity. Oh, and she looked and she saw such amazing variety and quality of vegetables and fruits and grains. That's just not available in the marketplace. Where did you get these? Oh, your husband said to bring them. Oh, how nice. Well, just wait here a little bit. He'll come again and he'll be happy to thank you. Oh, no. We're not going to stay. He beat us. And she said, my husband, he's a gentle Brahmin. He wouldn't beat anybody, what to speak of little boys like you. They said, it's true. And they lifted their shirt, and in the back there were these scratch marks on their back. He beat us. We're leaving right now. These amazing vegetables and fruits and grains, and her husband beat these little boys, and what's going on? So her husband came back after taking his midday bath, and his wife told him what happened while he was gone. And he said, I didn't send anybody to come here and bring something to you. Could you describe these boys? Blackish in complexion, and the other was white like milk and very charming. And I was mesmerized by their beauty. And as she was speaking, he could understand. And he fell at his wife's feet and said, you are so fortunate. You have seen the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and Balaram. Those marks in my Bhagavad Gita, and Krishna wanted me to know that I personally maintain my devotees, preserve what they have and carry what they lack. He was in ecstasy. So the end of that story is, for days, for practically a whole month, he just was wandering around. Vaham yaham. Vaham yaham. Exalted devotees such as Prahlad and Madhavendra Puri and so forth, their necessities are taken care of directly by Krishna. So here's the commentary of Baladeva Vidyabhusan. I alone, Krishna speaking, I alone take responsibility for bringing and preserving food and other necessities for those people who take me alone as their goal. This is the Sanskrit term. Ananya jana, who meditate upon me, chintayanta, who worship me thoroughly, pani upasate, who are always absorbed in me, nityabhiyuktanam, forgetting about their bodily maintenance. Those who are absorbed in me, I take care of their bodily maintenance. And their happiness for such ananya bhaktas is also given by me personally. It's not obtained by pious acts. For such persons, I take care of their attainment of wealth and their maintenance, though they do not expect such things. And now comes this vahami. The use of the word vahami indicates that the Lord bears the burden of maintaining their bodies in the manner that the householder takes the responsibility of maintaining his own wife and children. That's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So, similar idea expressed in Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is Lord Chaitanya's teaching. That's the postgraduate study, by the way. This is the deity of Govindaji in Jaipur, Radha Govinda. And Gauragopal. Krishna's transcendental qualities of opulence, sweetness, and mercy are perfect and full as far as Krishna's affectionate leaning towards his devotees is concerned. He is so magnanimous that he can give himself to his devotees. And so he looks after their needs and he gives himself and gives them great happiness. Same message. These are referred to in the purport. Again, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11. O King, this is spoken by Kavi to a king, Nimi, one of the Navayogendras. Anyway, O King, one who accepts this process of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will never blunder on his path in this world. Even while running with eyes closed, he will never trip or fall. Nice verse. Very famous verse. It doesn't mean close your eyes and run. It means even if you somehow you're not paying attention to the details of things, don't try this when driving your car. Close your eyes and drive. But in the path of life, if you're not always attentive to some details, Krishna will help you. That's the idea. And the painting here is Draupadi and her magic pot. Long story. Not time for it because of the clock keeps going tick, tick. But Draupadi was in a greatly dangerous situation because Durvasa Muni wanted something to eat now. And he had 60,000 followers and they had to be fed too. And her pot was able to produce unlimited quantities until she ate, but she had already eaten. Krishna! So Krishna came and said, Draupadi, don't be in distress. Just take that little piece of spinach from the inside of the pot. She said, no, I know, I already washed it. He said, Draupadi, take the little piece of spinach that's on the inside of the pot. You didn't clean it all. And give it to me. Feed me. And when Krishna was fed, Durvasa Muni felt full. Oh, better not go back and ask for meal from Draupadi because I'm feeling full. And my 60,000 men too. When Krishna is satisfied, everyone becomes satisfied. So, to them, I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. Now, last is on this verse. This phrase, dhira sarva bhavena. You should say, does not mean, in whichever way we like. So, bhava, bhavena. Bhava is the preliminary condition to love of God. The bhava stage is the final division. Before one reaches love of God, the word sarva bhava means that one can love the personality of Godhead in different transcendental modes of mellows, beginning with dasya, sakya, vatsalya, and madhurya. This is Prabhupada explaining what the Lord is saying to Prahlad. Since our main business is to love the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can render service from any of the above-mentioned platforms of love. And here's the very last verse in the whole chapter, and we'll have concluded. A very nice painting of Prahlad. Narada Muni said, Prahlad Maharaj was the best person in the family of Asuras, who always aspire for material happiness. Nonetheless, although allured by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who offered him all benedictions for material happiness, because of his unalloyed Krishna consciousness, he did not want to take any material benefit for sense gratification. So this is a lead-in to the next chapter. I'll just say quickly, the next chapter, Prahlad says three things. Don't ask me to take some benediction, because I'm born in this demoniac family and I'll ask for something demoniac. So, don't ask me. And also he says, a servant, a good master, doesn't give to the servant something material. And the good servant doesn't ask for the master from anything material. Otherwise, it's business. I'll do for you if you do for me. Let's shake hands and sign a contract. That's business. Between you and me, there's nothing but you're the master, I'm the servant, and there's nothing else. So, let me carry on being your servant if you want me to take a benediction. Tell you what, third thing. If you want me to take a benediction, the benediction should be never, let me never be accept anything material. Ask for or accept anything material that will be used in sense gratification. That's a good one. How about that one, Lord Nrisingadeva? So, it goes on. There's a whole chapter of their exchange with one another. In the end, Lord Nrisingadeva says, you will rule the earth because his father is now killed, so he'll become the next king. You'll rule for the life of Manu. And at the end of that life of Manu, you'll come to me. You'll come to the spiritual world. Because Lord Nrisingadeva descended from the spiritual world. Prahlad is very clear. You're the Lord of Vaikuntha. Although in this fascinating form, he's very clear. The Lord of his life, the Lord of the universe, the Lord of the spiritual world, is the person who he's in this relationship with by the mercy of Narada. And Narada taught the ways of devotional service, and therefore he has this very special favor of Lord Nrisingadeva, who is ready to give him all benedictions, and he's saying, no, thank you. Now, how many people pray to God for something? If they go to God for prayer, they want something. But for Prahlad, he doesn't want something. He wants just to be in the association of devotees like Narada, so he can be in position of service. Shishi Radha Shama Sundara Ki. I think that's the sign that I have to end. So, lights? And any comments or questions? Yes. Here comes the portable microphone, just now coming.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for a wonderful class. My question was, there was one verse which said, if you're doing any austerities, but if you don't understand me, it's all useless. Mm-hmm. And if you understand me, then there's no need of doing any austerities. Can you explain what exactly understand me means?
Well, you know, it's understanding on the soul platform, not understanding on the head platform. So, if the soul is connected, the example given in the Bhagavatam is just, it gives a comparison, yata tata. Like in the eating process, supposing you've fasted for some time, I don't know, whatever, for a day, or more than a day, you've fasted for some time. The body's a little weak, and you're feeling hungry. So, by the eating process, when you break the fast, three things happen. This is the Bhagavatam's explanation. The weakness dissipates, hunger subsides, and one feels satisfaction. Like you can say, no, I don't need anything more, thank you. You have to have somebody tell you, you don't need anything more now. You can say, Similarly, understanding is like that. You don't have, so it's bhakti parishanubhava viraktir anyatra cha. You've heard that verse. Yeah? So by understanding is where one wants to serve the Supreme. There's feelings of affection and love for the Supreme. And there's detachment from other things. That's understanding. And otherwise, it's maybe a step in the direction of, but it's not understanding. You can look up the verse and then read the purports. Really nice verse. It's bhakti para isha anubhav. Bhakti paresha anubhava. Viraktir anyatra cha. It's quoted in Bhagavad Gita and it's quoted in many places.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Way in the back. Is someone going to be making announcements? Are you going to make some announcements? Okay. After this question, you take the microphone.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you for your wonderful lecture, and I particularly appreciate the PowerPoint, very, very new in Krishna consciousness. My question was regarding the nature of the soul in terms of, we say that the soul is Satchitananda, so when the soul goes through this material process and we purify ourselves through Krishna consciousness and ultimately, let's say one day we make it back to the spiritual world.
Yay!
Which is, right, all of our goals here. But since the soul is Satchitananda and it has an intrinsic personality, and intrinsically our souls, at least, since we were attracted to material nature, and since the soul doesn't change, it's Satchitananda and it has an eternal personality, wouldn't that aspect of the soul, despite going through this material process and going back to the spiritual world, wouldn't the soul still retain the propensity to be attracted to material nature?
So, no. Here's Prabhupada's answer to that. If I've understood your question correctly, I'm not sure I did, but if I've understood your question correctly, our marginal nature is still there. Prabhupada explained it this way. We're, by constitution, we're tatastha shakti, we're marginal. So we may be attracted over here, we may be attracted over there, but we're marginal. So when one comes to the position of going back to Godhead like you described, we're still marginal. There's still the potential of going this other way. We don't lose our free will. We're still tatashta. But we don't make the mistake. the possibility is there. The freedom is there. The free will is there. Yes, but we don't. We don't become attracted again. Prabhupada says we've learned our lesson. We don't get back until we've learned our lesson. And when we've learned our lesson, we don't make the mistake.
So there is some equivalent of memory or a learning process that's occurring within the soul. Would you say that it's learned its lesson?
That's an interesting question. Memory, I've not heard anything from our acharyas saying that there's memory of our sojourn in the material world. It is described as like a flash. Like a flash, like it. So, what memory do you have of a flash? But it's a free will choice, not so much. I had a bad experience. I'm not going back there again. It's just proper use of free will. That's my understanding, and not a memory, because the material mind is dissolved. The material mind is awarded for living entities that want to have this rebellious thing. But when the rebellious thing is gone, the material mind is gone. Bhakti dissolves the subtle body. Kapila Dev says that. So it's that the memory is in the mind. Gone. Just one thing. Krishna. In service to Krishna. Okay, we're ready for your announcements. You ready?